Welcome to the Calvary Podcast. Get ready to dive into an inspiring message. Our aim is to share teachings that bring transformation and hope to your life. So, open your heart, be ready to listen, and prepare for a powerful encounter with the Word. Let's get started.
It is a true honor to be here with you this morning. It's been about 20 years now since I've had the honor of being here, first time in this sanctuary. Remain standing, would you? We're going to pray in just a second. And it's an honor to be here for Pastor George and Miss Phyllis. They've always just been so kind to me, and I love them. I just love his hair. Praise God. I just wish I had that kind of hair. Hallelujah. And I'm the director of evangelism for the state of Alabama. Then I also work in our national office in Springfield, Missouri. So I work with churches all over the country. So my name's Johnny. You know my name. I don't know everybody here. So on the count of three, would everybody tell me your name as loud as you can? Here we go. One, two, three. Now I know everybody. All right. I want us to pray for two things. I'm going to share something with you this morning that during the pandemic, God taught me something that has changed my life. I've led more people to Christ in the last 5 years than I have at any other time in my life. And I am not a traveling speaker. I'm not a traveling preacher. I'm a pure Ephesians 4:11 called out evangelist. And I'm here to serve the vision of Pastor George and Phyllis Sawyer today. And I want you to agree with me what we're about to hear. What's about to happen in this room is not up to me alone. It's up to you too. So I need you to agree with me, and I'll share my illustration with you in just a moment. But I want you to agree with me for two things. First of all, I want us to pray for God's anointing. Everybody say God's anointing. The Bible says it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. It's not an amazing worship team, although they were amazing. It's not somebody with a microphone. It is the anointing and the power of God that comes upon us that breaks every chain of the devil off of our life. And I preach much better and much shorter when you preach with me, all right? So don't let me have to do this by myself. And here's the rules this morning. If I say something that sounds good, you say, amen, hallelujah, that was good. If I say something you don't like, you say, amen, hallelujah, that was good. Punch the person next to you and say he was talking to you. Come on, tell him right now. Hit the person next to you. So I want you to pray that this will not just be another time in the house of God. I want you to pray that today will be an encounter with our living God and that something will change in our lives. His anointing will come on each of us. Second thing I want us to pray for is an open heart. Everybody say an open heart. Listen, I want you to know I don't know everything, but neither do you. And if you think you do, you might as well slip out right now because there's not much God can do for you. But if you will open your heart to the King of Kings and say, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to fix this. I don't know what to change. But God, I know you do. If you'll open your heart in these next 3 hours as I preach. No, the Bible says, blessed are the brief, for they shall be heard again. All right. I'm going to get us out on time or Brother George won't let me come back. All right. I want you to open your heart. Listen, God loves you, and he wants you to win. Would you lift your hands to heaven with me? If you're watching online, would you lift your hands wherever you are? If you're comfortable, just lift your hands. If you're not, would you just bow your head all over this room? Father, we lift, come on, pray with me. Father, we pray right now for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to come and do what no speaker can do, no evangelist can do, but only what you can do, Almighty God. And Lord, we thank you for this amazing church and the many, many years that Pastor George and Miss Phyllis have been here. And God, we believe the greatest days of Calvary are not behind it. The greatest days of Calvary are in front of it until you come. So give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. And Lord, help us to hear it today. We open our heart. Come on, just lift your hands to heaven and say, I open my heart, God, speak to me. I open my heart, God, whatever you want to say to me. And Lord, I just pray you'd lift me above my abilities now. And if I say the wrong thing, let your people hear the right thing. And when we leave in just a few minutes, may we leave encouraged and built up and strengthened and better than we were when we came in the house of God today. And we're careful to give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise in Jesus' name. And if you agree, everybody say amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hey, before you're seated, would you look at the person next to you right in the eyes and say, man, you look good today. Tell them just like that. You look good today. I I know some of you looking at these ugly men had to tell a lie, but it's okay. We'll pray in a minute. We'll pray in a minute. Hallelujah. Amen. If you have your Bible with you, can you open it with me to the book of Luke chapter 17? Luke chapter 17, and beginning in verse 20, we'll look at God's word there. It'll be on the screen in just a moment. Or if you have your device, can you just go there with me? Luke chapter 17, and beginning in verse 20. And I want to share a message with you this morning that has supernaturally just changed my life. And I believe God can do it for you too. So I want to share this with you. There's a story years ago about a little rabbit hopped into a paint store one day. And he asked the owner of the paint store, he said, "Do you have any carrots here?" And the owner of the paint store said, "Well, little buddy, this is a paint store. We don't sell carrots here. If you want carrots, you'll have to go somewhere else. I apologize." So the little rabbit hopped out of the paint store. Next day, little rabbit hopped back in the paint store. He asked the owner of the paint store, he said, "Do you have any carrots here?" And the owner of the paint store said, "Well, little buddy, I told you yesterday, this is a paint store. We don't sell carrots here. And if you want carrots, you're going to have to go somewhere else. I'm sorry. I apologize." So the little rabbit hopped out of the paint store. Next day, little rabbit hopped back in the paint store. And he asked the owner of the paint store, he said, "Do you have any carrots here?" And the owner of the paint store got a little frustrated. He said, "Look, buddy, I've told you twice now, this is a paint store. We don't sell carrots here. And if you want carrots, you're going to have to go somewhere else. And if you come back in here again asking for carrots, I'm going to nail you to the wall by your ears." So the little rabbit hopped out of the paint store. Next day, little rabbit hopped back in the paint store. And he asked the owner of the paint store, he said, "Do you have any nails?" He said, "No." He said, "Good. Do you have any carrots?" All right. Now, that's the attitude that I want you to look at this with me this morning. I want you to look at this passage with me. That's just an attitude that just says, "I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to give up." We're living in a very, very crazy time. And but how many of you understand this with me? The dark is going to keep on getting darker, but the light is going to keep on getting brighter. And in the middle of all the craziness, God has shown me something that he wants all of us, I believe, to live in. I was just in California, and how many of you know California is the land of fruits and nuts? Come on, all right. And it really is a very unusual place. The governor of California, we need to pray for him, Gavin Newsom. He is demon-possessed. And I say that very clearly. Only a demon can think the way that they think this way. He needs Jesus, and I pray for him regularly that he'll turn his life to Christ. But this is a law. This is a law in the state of California. In the state of California, you have to be 16 years old and have parental permission to get a tattoo. But this is also a law in the state of California. You can be as young as 12 years old and have a gender-changing sex change, and the state of California will pay for it without parental permission. Like a 12-year-old knows what they want to do with their future. Come on, somebody. Help me a little bit. Can somebody help me a little bit? And only a demon can think this way. This is also a law in the state of California. If a homosexual man wants to have a baby, which is biologically impossible, it cannot happen. If he wants to have a baby, the state of California will rent a woman's body for him for 1 year and pay for her to give birth to his surrogate child so that he can have the child in his family. Okay, understand this with me. Here's my thinking that. Where are the feminists in that? Come on, somebody. And so these kinds of things are happening in our culture all over our country. And we're seeing so many crazy things and all the political things that we're hearing. And you know what politics means? Poly means many and ticks means bloodsuckers. All right. And so we look at all the craziness that is going on in our culture and we say, "God, America has gone too far. We have pushed too deep. It's too dark. It'll never change." I'm going to tell you that is a lie. Come on. Oh, I thought you'd help me a little bit right there. People say it's too dark. America has gone too far. We've given up too much. America, it's over for this country. I'm just going to tell you that's a lie. Come on. As long as the people of God are still here, God wants to show himself big to a culture that is in darkness. And so I want to talk to you this morning about a message, that the title of my message, if you like titles, the title of my message is Stay in the Pool. Can everybody say that with me? Stay in the pool. Can you say it one more time real loud? Stay in the pool. I want to show you something that God has shown me. And I want you to read this passage of scripture with me in the book of Luke chapter 17 and beginning in verse 20. Luke chapter 17 and beginning of verse 20. We read along with me. It's on the screen. And I love it when we read the Word of God together. Come on, can we all read it together? Come on, read it with me. Come on. Once on being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, "The coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed. Nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is in your midst." Can we go back and can we read that again? I want you to read these two verses. Come on, get it with me. Let's read it loud. Once, on being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, "The coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed. Nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is in your midst." Look at me if you would. The Pharisees were trying to trick Jesus. They wanted to make him stumble because of the law of the Jewish culture. And they were trying to trick him. And they said, "Where is this kingdom going to be?" Because one of the main themes that Jesus came preaching was that the kingdom of God would come to live among men. Yes? And a kingdom is a king's domain. It's where the king lives. And he said, "There's the kingdom of God." They said, "Where is this kingdom?" Because they were threatened by that. How many of you remember when Jesus was born and they were talking about the king of the Jews? Herod said, "Where is this king that I may go and worship him too?" But how many know he didn't want to worship him? He wanted to kill him. Yes? A new kingdom is always a threat to the existing kingdoms of this world. So they were trying to trick Jesus. "Where is this kingdom and when will it come?" And Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is not something that can be observed, nor can you say 'Here it is' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is among you. The kingdom of God is within you." In other words, here's what Jesus was saying. The kingdom of God is not some place. It's not some location. You can't drive to Omaha, Nebraska today and find the kingdom of God. You can't drive to or fly to Beijing, China today and find the kingdom of God. You can't go to Sydney, Australia today and find the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God is not a location. How many of you know the kingdom of God is within us? Yes? This is just a building called Calvary Assembly of God Church. Yes? But this is not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God lives and breathes and has his being within us. So what Jesus was trying to say to them, it's not some place you can go, but the kingdom of God is among you. The kingdom of God is within you. Look at me. In other words, to say a kingdom among kingdoms. Okay? I want you to see this. I want you to believe with me this morning, because my title of my message is Stay in the Pool. I want you to believe with me this morning that this pool represents everything in the kingdom of God. All of his power, all of his glory, all of his joy, all of his triumph, all of his victory, all of his presence, all of his help. Everything I will ever need, I can find in the kingdom of God. So I want you to believe with me in my illustration this morning that this pool represents the kingdom of the living God. Are you with me? And I want you to believe with me that everything else outside of this pool represents the kingdoms of this world. We live in a kingdom among kingdoms. Jesus, one of the primary things that he came preaching was that I'm coming, that I'm going to bring the kingdom of God to dwell among you, that all of the power and all of the glory and all of the victory and all of the presence of God will be available to you whenever you want it. It is available to you. All right? So I want you to believe with me that this pool represents the kingdom of God. So look at me with you, in my illustration. Am I standing in the pool of his presence right now? Just in my illustration. Am I, yes or no? Okay. Am I standing in it now? Come on, help me. Am I standing in it now? Can you indulge me one more time? Am I standing in it now? Come on, one last time. Am I standing in it now? How did I get in here? I made a willful choice to step out of that realm to step over into this realm. Are you with me? See, I want you to understand that some things in this world are matter only. Reach over and touch somebody next to you. Just touch somebody real quick. Just touch them. How many of you felt that? Hold your hand up so I can see it. If you didn't feel it, we need to pray for you right now, all right? What you just felt is what we call the natural realm. Everybody say the natural realm. See, there are two existences going on in this room right now while we're sitting here, and that is the natural kingdoms of this world and the kingdom of the living God. And those two are clashing today at a level we have never seen before. It is very, very clear to see the fight that is going on for the American church and the American culture. That we've got to go back to the presence of God, not just on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. I've got to learn that I can step over into the presence of God at any time whenever I need him. He is always available. So these kingdoms of the natural world and the spirit world. How many know there's another realm called the spirit world? And I have found that the spirit world is more real than the natural world. I want to say that again. We live in this natural world, but I want you to understand there's another realm going on right now called the spirit realm. And I have found that the spirit world is more real than the natural realm. See, some things in this world are matter only. This pulpit right here, look at it with me. There is no living entity in this pulpit. Is that right? This is just protons, neutrons, and electrons of atoms that were compressed out of material to make something that we could use as a stand up here today. But God never breathed into this. There's no breath of life in this, yes? The chair you're sitting in right now, there is no living entity in that chair that you're sitting in. It's just protons, neutrons, electrons of atoms, of cells that were compressed from material so that we could have something for us to sit on when we come in here. There's no living entity in it. God never breathed on that chair the breath of life. Come on. This microphone, come on. There's no living entity in this microphone. It's just protons and neutrons and electrons of atoms of cells that were compressed from material of all the little parts to make this little microphone work. But there's no breath in this microphone. God never breathed in this microphone. There's no living entity in this microphone. Are you with me? So I want you to understand some things are natural only. Some things are matter only. But look at this. Some things are spirit only. God is spirit. Angels are spirits. And demons are spirits. Are you with me? Now look at this. We as human beings are the only part of all of God's creation that has to live in both realms at the same time, of both the natural and the spirit realm. God, the only thing that God ever breathed in, the breath of life that he breathed into the nostrils of man at the creation of the world, he breathed upon them, pneuma, spirit. He breathed on them the breath of life. The fishes of the sea, the birds of the air, the animals in the kingdom, animal kingdom, none of them have the breath of God breathed into them. Only we as human beings created in the image of the Most High God, come on, yes, we're the only part of all creation that has to live in both realms of both the natural and the spirit realm at the same time. And I can promise you, it is a lot easier to live in the natural realm than it is to live in the spirit realm. Let me show you why I know this. Yesterday, driving up here, how many of you know on the other side of the bridge going into Decatur, there's a street I think called 6th Avenue? Yeah? How many know there's a traffic light about every 32 feet? Come on. And I was driving up here yesterday and trying to get to the hotel where I was staying last night, and I was sitting at a traffic light way before I got to the hotel, and I thought, my God, this thing is going to last forever. And I was sitting there just complaining and just like, my goodness, how long is this light going to last? Anybody ever felt that? Come on, help me now. I was in a hurry. I wanted to get where I was going. I had to meet Brother Tony. And so I was like, goodness gracious, I'm going to be sitting here forever. And the Holy Spirit came to me and said, are you going to complain while you're sitting at this traffic light, or are you going to worship me? So I heard the Lord as he corrected me. So I just stepped over into the pool of his presence. And I just lifted my hands at that traffic light. And I started singing some C.C. Winans. Come on. And I started singing, your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. And the presence of God just came to my car. And Brother Tony, I just had revival at that traffic light right there. And about 5 seconds later, it turned green. And I went 32 feet and I stopped at the next light. Come on. But something I've learned is I've learned that the presence of God is portable. Come on. The presence of God is not tied to this building. If the only time you ever taste the power of God is sitting in this building on Sunday morning at 10 a.m., I'm just telling you, can I just love you and tell you the truth? You're going to live a miserable Christian experience. It's just not going to be fun. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our what? The joy of the Lord is our what? If you want to be strong in this world, you're going to have to understand that I got to stand in the presence of God. So I went 32 feet to the next light on 6th Avenue, and I knew what God was saying. So the light was red for about 32 minutes, it felt like. And I just lifted my hands and I started just singing again that old song of the church. Some of you might know it. Come on. At the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. Come on. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. I'm what all the day? Listen, I found in my life, and I live a very victorious life, but I have found that when I step out of the natural realm and step over into the spirit realm, everything that I need is available to me at any time, wherever I am, wherever I go, and whatever place that I am in. Yes? So I want you to believe with me that this pool represents the kingdom of God and all of his power and all of his glory and all of his anointing and all of his presence and all of his help. Am I standing in it right now in my illustration? Am I standing in it now? Come on, help me. Am I standing in it now? Come on, am I standing in it now? How did I get out? I made a willful choice to step out of that realm and step back over into the natural realms of this world. And you know what? Jesus, the word of God tells us this. He said, cast your cares on me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You're looking at somebody today who has no problems. I have not one problem in this world. Now, the Lord's got a whole bunch of them. Hallelujah. Because I've just given them all over to him, because he said this to me many years ago. He said, son, if you want to carry your problems, you can also carry the pain. But if you'll cast them over on me, my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and I'll show you how I can live. Listen, the pool of God's presence is portable. We've got to learn to live in the presence of God on a continual basis, not just periodically on a Sunday or periodically when there's a problem. Yes? That we don't just call on God when things are wrong. We call on him when things are good. Hallelujah. Everybody smile and say, I love the little preacher. I think he's a sweet little man. You didn't say it, Sister Blonde here. Hallelujah. I have a wireless microphone and I'll come preach down there, okay? So you better get with me. All right. Stay in the pool. Can you say it again? Stay in the pool. Listen, what does the Bible tell us in Psalm chapter 91? What does it say? Blessed is he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, for they shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Look at me. There's one key word in that passage, and it's that word dwells. Blessed is he who dwells, not visits. Listen, the Bible even called it a secret place. What does that mean? Look at me. I believe it's a place that I can step over at any time out of my natural man into my spirit man, and the Spirit of the living God can speak to me and I can speak to him, and all of his power is available to me. Yes? The Bible even calls it a secret place. Where is that? I believe it's away in the presence of the realm of the Spirit of God. The Bible says you're to be in this world, but not. What does that really mean? Not just words, pictures there, but I believe he was trying to teach us that even though you live in this realm, you can dwell in my realm now that you are redeemed and set free and you know who I am. That's why we have a cross at the top of every steeple in America today and around the world for churches. The reason that cross is up there, three words that Jesus uttered at his crucifixion, it is finished, was one word in Greek called tetelestai. And tetelestai means paid in full. Come on, say that. Paid in full. That God paid the price for us to be free. And I can step over into the realm of his spirit at any time, and I can have everything washed and met and helped in my life. Yes? The Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run in and they're safe. Where are they running into? I believe they're running over into the presence of God so that God can meet with us and we can meet with God. And in his presence is the fullness of complete joy. That's where I find happiness in this life. What does even the Lord's Prayer say to us? Come on, say it with me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Where is his kingdom coming? His kingdom is coming to live among us so that we can live in the presence of God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week if we choose to. As a matter of fact, the greatest anointing I have ever felt in my life was not in church. It was in my living room with my wife when I was 28 years old, which was a long time ago. And when we were in our living room, we were having to make a big decision and we needed God's wisdom. We just didn't know what to do. And so my wife plays the piano, and she doesn't play very good. Matter of fact, she plays pretty bad. But she plays one song really, really good, and she would tell you the same thing. And she was playing one song at the piano, and it was this song. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel his mighty power and his grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Anybody remember that old song? While she started playing that at the piano, the presence of God swept into our living room. And I'm telling you, we found ourselves on our faces before God. And the Lord said, get a piece of paper. And we wrote out something with 10 different things. And the Lord said, throughout your lifetime, I will fulfill these 10 things. And I want you to know we've watched God answer 8 of those over the last 40 years. And we're believing now that God is going to answer the next 2. And we're going to see it. That didn't happen to us in church. Come on. That happened to us because we stepped out of the natural realm and we stepped over into the spirit realm so that all of his help could come to us. Yes? Am I standing in it now? Am I standing in it now? Come on, help me. Am I standing in it now? How did I get in here? I made a willful decision to step out of that realm of the natural thinking man and step over into the realm of the spirit, of the presence of the living God that can help me. Yes? 3 things I want to give you that God taught me 5 years ago. Number one, if I'm going to stay in the pool of his presence, number one, I'm going to have to pursue the pool. I'm going to have to pursue the pool. Everyone say pursue. Secondly, if I'm going to stay in the pool of his presence, I'm going to have to protect the pool of his presence. Everyone say protect. And the third and most important thing, if I'm going to stay in the pool of his presence, I'm going to have to practice in the pool of his presence. Everyone say practice. Number one, I'm going to have to pursue. Everyone say pursue. I want to read a scripture to you in Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 13. They're going to put it on the screen. I want us to read this out loud. Come on, can everybody read it with me? It's on the screen. Come on, read it. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with a little bit of your heart. Come on. Come on, read it again. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. Look at me. Here's what God was saying to the prophet Jeremiah. It's just a long redhead there. Here's what God was saying. God was saying, I am not keeping myself hidden from you. I am not a mystery. You can find me. God was saying, I'm not hidden from you. I'm not keeping myself from you. But think about this now. Everybody look at me. If you're watching online, watch this. That the God of the universe gave us an invitation. He said, you can find God if you will seek him, if you'll seek him with all of your heart. God's not keeping himself from us, but it's going to take us coming after him and pursuing him. See, my wife and I, we just celebrated our 40th wedding anniversary. Come on. Yeah. Best decision I ever made was to become a believer in Jesus of Nazareth. Second best decision I ever made was to marry Karen James. But when I met her, she was dating another guy. And I called him Captain America. Anybody seen the Avenger movies? Wave at me. Anybody know who Captain America is? The guy she was dating looked just like him. Chris Evans, he looked just like that. The guy she was dating looked just like Captain America. He was about 6'6". He had wavy, beautiful, thick, blonde hair, bright, crystal blue eyes, dark, tan skin, muscles everywhere, shoulders about that wide, everything I was not. But he didn't know how to treat her very well. And he treated her really bad. And she broke up with him. And when she broke up with him, I moved in for the kill. Come on. Hallelujah. I sent her flowers. I called her on the phone. I wrote her a letter. I went by her house. And finally the day came that she went out with me. And we went out on a blind date. She was definitely blind, all right? But a friend of ours helped me to find out who she was. And I want you to know I dated her for 3.5 years. We've been married for 40 years now. We have 3 beautiful children. And I want to tell you, Captain America lost. Hallelujah. The reason Captain America lost was because I was pursuing her with everything in me. I was saying to her, Karen, I don't want you to ever need another man the rest of your life. I want to be the only man you're ever going to need for the rest of your life. And I want you to be the only woman I'm ever going to need for the rest of my life. I don't want another woman. You're the only one that I want. And I was pursuing her and pursuing her until I won her. Yes. God is saying the same thing. I'm not hidden from you. If you'll seek me, if you'll come looking for me, if you'll try to find me, you can find me. But you're going to have to seek after me, not just a little bit, not just every once in a while, but with all of your heart. And that's why we look at somebody like a Pastor Emilio, and we look at somebody like that and say, why is he so emotional? Why does that guy just cry all the time? Come on. And we look at him and just say, why is he like that? Because he has found the presence of God. Come on, somebody. Then we look at Brother Whitehair right here. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't like you. You got too much hair. Hallelujah. That we look at Pastor Tony and we say, how can you be so happy? Because he's found the presence of God. How many of you have found the presence of God? Wave at me. Come on. Then what you know is what I know, that I can find him. I can find him if I'll seek him with all of my heart. Yeah. Years ago, I was a youth pastor in Mobile at Knollwood Assembly of God. And we had a pretty large youth group at that time of about 300 students coming to our youth ministry. But I couldn't get them to give. Brother Tony, I just couldn't get them to give. We'd take an offering for Speed to Light, and they'd give $3.15. And I was like, how can I get these knuckleheads to give an offering? So I went in one night. I found an idea, and I went in, and before they came into the gymnasium for the service, I taped dollar bills underneath all the chairs. $1 bills, $5 bills, $10 bills, one $20 bill, because I was a youth pastor. And so I taped money just randomly all over the room. And as we got ready for the offering, I said, hey, we're about to receive our offering, but before we do, under the chair you're sitting in, there may be a one or a five or a 10 or a $20 bill. When I say go, whatever you can find is yours. On your mark, get set, go. And boom, I'm telling you, the room exploded. They were flipping chairs over. They were pushing people out of the way. One girl was pulling another girl's hair because she wanted to get to those dollar bills. And they held it up. I got a five. I got a 10. I got a 20. And while they were all scrambling on the floor for those dollar bills, I said, stop. I said, when you begin to seek God the way you're seeking those dollar bills, you're going to be the kind of givers God wants you to be. And Pastor, we got the best offering we'd ever had. Now, it was my money, but we got the best offering that we had ever had. Because what we've taught this young generation is we've taught them, get all you can all you get, and sit on the can. It's all about me, 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 I, in this TikTok Insta-fame generation, that it's all about fame for just a moment. I want you to know, young generation, if you're 25 years old or younger, would you just stand up real quick? 25 or younger, just stand up real quick. Come on. Those that wish you could, don't stand up. Okay. 25 or younger, would you stand up? Would you look around this room? Are we so proud of these young people? Come on. Are we proud of them? Stay standing. Stay standing. Look at me. You're the first generation in American history that believes there are multiple ways to heaven. And this generation is at risk. Did you hear me? Less than 4% of Gen Z professes to be born again. We're at risk of losing your generation. Reverend Oprah Winfrey ordained herself in Yankee Stadium after 9/11. And some of you might remember this, right after the trade towers in New York City were attacked and our nation was attacked, Oprah Winfrey had what was to be a healing service for America. And she had every religious leader in Yankee Stadium and 75,000 people that joined them. She had Rudy Giuliani, the mayor of New York City, and George Pataki, the governor of New York at that time. And she had Buddhist and Hindu and Muslim and atheist and Christians all on the same platform, religious leaders of every religious strand known to America. And here's what she said. These are all alternate paths to the same God. It does not matter how you worship, as long as you worship. Listen to me. Reverend Oprah Winfrey meant well, but she was wrong. People say, how can you say Oprah Winfrey was wrong? She's the richest woman in America. She has her own television program, her own magazine. She's so wealthy. How can you say she was wrong? Because the disciples came to Jesus and said, how can we know the way? And Jesus said, you tell them this. I am not some way. I am not one way. I am the way. And nobody's going to get to heaven but through me. And I want you to understand, young people, that doesn't make us better than Buddhist. It makes Jesus better. Come on. That doesn't make us better than Muhammad. It makes Jesus better. So I want to challenge you. We're so proud of you that you're in the house of God today, but sitting in church won't get you to heaven any more than going to McDonald's will make you a hamburger. Come on. The only way is to step out of the natural and step over into the spiritual and say, God, I want you more than TikTok fame. I want you more than Insta fame. I want you in kingdom fame, that in your presence, everything I need, I can find right here. Would you give all of these young people a great, great, great big hand? You can sit down. I've got to pursue. Everybody say pursue. Secondly, the Lord spoke to me and he said, not only do you have to pursue my presence, Johnny, I'm not hidden from you. I make myself available, but you're going to have to protect my presence. You're going to have to protect the pool. Can you say that with me? Protect the pool. I want to read a scripture to you in James chapter 4 and verse 7 and 8. Can you read it with me? It's on the screen. You sound so good when we read it together. Come on, let's read it together. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Stop right there. We'll go to the next verse in just a moment. Read that again. Can you read that out loud? Come on. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist who? Listen, I want you to know there's a key word in that passage and it's that very first word, submit. If we submit ourselves to God, we can resist the devil himself and he has to flee from us. Did you hear what I just said? Every demon, every darkness. That's why we can dance in the middle of adversity. We can shout in the middle of political craziness because he was saying this, that you can come away into my presence and you can resist the devil himself and he'll have to flee from you. See, the devil's not scared of me. I'm 5'8" and pounds. All right. It's way too many. All right. I'm growing in the ministry. All right. I'm expanding from a temple to a cathedral. All right. So I'm growing. See, the devil's not scared of me, but look at me. He's terrified of Christ in me. That I'm going to awaken the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's terrified of Christ. The devil's not scared of you, but he's terrified of Christ in you, that God will be released inside of you. Am I standing in it now? Am I standing in it now? How did I get in here? I made a choice to step over here into this realm. I was just out in Portland, Oregon, and how do you remember during the pandemic, they were burning that city down. Do you remember? They defunded the police and crime went up 200%. And so the Lord said, go get in the middle of that. And so we went out to help one of our churches out there, Harvest Assembly of God Church, right there outside of the Portland International Airport. And we do an outreach every week wherever I go. And we walked into area businesses with a little bag of candy, just a little something to sweeten their day. And we just bless them and thank them for what they do in that community. So we walked into a Subway sandwich shop. And we walk in, and there's a young man behind the counter with his hair spiked about 2 feet off the top of his head. He's got tattoos everywhere, all the way down to his toes in his sandals. There's not an inch on this boy he doesn't have tattoos. And he's got piercings everywhere, places you should not have piercings. This boy had piercings everywhere. And the look would be not interested, yes? So we walk in, his name was Tim. I said, hey, Tim, this is my friend Shane. We're from Harvest Assembly of God Church. We just want to come by and give you a little bag of candy just to say thanks for being here, man. What you do matters. And we want to say thank you for staying open during all this craziness here in Portland, Oregon. Man, thank you for the food you offer. Thank you for what you do for the economy. So what you do is important. And from our church, we want to say thank you. He said, wow, man, nobody's ever come in here and said thank you for making Subway sandwiches. And so we said, hey, man, We gave him a card, and we said, we'd like to invite you to Harvest Assembly of God Church. Look at me. He stuck his hand out in our face. He said, look, man, I really appreciate you coming. He said, I'm an atheist. I don't do the God thing. How many of you know we need discernment? When to talk and when not to talk? And how many of you can tell it's hard for me not to talk, all right? So the Lord said, don't say anything else. Just love him. So we said, Tim, you're welcome to believe or not believe, whatever you want to. We just want you to know we bless you. We love you, and you're welcome at Harvest Assembly of God Church. We turned to walk out. When we got to the door, we turned around and looked, and he was already eating the candy out of the bag that we had given him. He stuck the card we gave him in his back pocket. He had worked a double shift that day because nobody wants to work. Come on. And so he went home. He was exhausted. It was late at night. And when he was undressing, he felt that card in his back pocket. He pulled it out. He said, looked at it, said, those guys were really nice. He said, I think I want to go to that church just to see what they do. Come on. All right. So he comes the next morning, and he's sitting on the very back row of the church, kind of like there, Sister Pink woman back there. Hold your shirt, hand up, Sister Pink shirt. Yeah, sitting back there, kind of like the lady in the pink shirt back there, sitting on the back row. And he had his arms folded, and his wife was with him, and her hair was spiked up just like his. She had tattoos just like him. She had piercings everywhere just like him. They had their arms folded the entire time I was preaching, and the look on their face was, we're going to murder you right after this service. Now, that's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm thinking. But they were just trying to process what was going on. And when I gave the invitation, he said it's the first time he's ever heard God speak to him. He said he heard a voice that said, what they're saying is true and you need this. I don't believe he was hearing me. I'm a nobody from nowhere. But I believe he heard Father, Son, and Holy Spirit say, Tim, I have a better way. Tim, I can show you a better answer. Tim, there's happiness that you don't know yet, and I can show you. And can I tell you, we resisted the devil, and the devil had to flee. And I want you to know, Tim and his wife came, got born again in that church that day. Come on, somebody. Woo! Hallelujah. And can I tell you, that was a year and a half ago, and they're leaders in that church now. Hallelujah. And they're going to get more people with spiked up hair and tattoos and piercings everywhere and bringing them in the house of God. Yes? See, the devil's not scared of us, but he's terrified of Christ in us. He says, you can resist the devil and he'll flee from you if you submit to God. Now read the next verse. Come on, read verse 8. I want you to read this. Come on, read it out loud. Come read it loud. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. This is the qualification for the enemy fleeing from us. We got to wash our hands. We got to clean our hearts. I want you to understand this, that we have to meet the qualification to get the promise. God doesn't want you to lose. God doesn't want you to lose in life. He doesn't want you depressed. He doesn't want you on pills. Pills to go to sleep and pills to get up. Something to make you happy, something to bring you down. He doesn't want you on these things. He wants you to find everything you will ever need in the pool of his presence. But he said, you've got to clean your hands and wash your hearts. You've got to protect the pool of my presence. Let's say it right here. Am I standing in it now? Let's just say the city of Decatur, Alabama, decided today that they were going to pour the sewage of the city in your pool. Come on, would you let them do it for a day? Really? An hour? Come on, 30 minutes. Come on, 5 minutes. 30 seconds? Why? Because it's disease-filled. It's disgusting. It smells. It's full of death. We would never allow the city of Decatur to pour the sewage of the city into our pool. And yet, the American Christian tries to absorb so much of the world's philosophy, watching what they watch, going where they go, drinking what they drink, smoking what they smoke, and thinking that God will forgive me anyway because he's a loving God. It's a very dangerous proposition. And I want you to know we got to wash our hands. We got to cleanse our hearts. Yes? Am I standing in it now? Am I standing in it now? Am I standing in it now? And here's where too many people are trying to live. They want all of the glory of God, but they don't want to give up what they love. And they want to say, well, God is obligated to forgive me. Anybody know a story about a guy named Samson? Wave at me if you know that story. If you don't know that story, let me just give you a little bit of the background. The Bible says when Samson was born, he made a vow to God, he and his mother, that he would never cut his hair. And it was called a Nazarite vow, that it would be a symbol of his covenant with he and God. that he would be born to serve the purposes of God all of his life, and he would never shave his head. Yes? Because it was a picture of the covenant he had with God that he would never shave his head. And the Bible says he was strong. Listen, the Bible says he killed 1,000 men with a donkey's jawbone. Think about that. Now, get the picture of a little jawbone of a donkey. I have a real vivid imagination. And the Bible said he killed 1,000 men with a donkey's jawbone. Can you imagine how dumb the 1,000th man must have felt? There's 999 men laying dead on the ground, but he said, I think I can get him. Bam, he kills him too. And then the Bible says he ripped the gates of the city and ran to the top of the hill. Is that right? He ran to the top of the city. And you got to know, the gates at that time weren't made out of chain link fence. They were made out of stone or brass or rock. And he ripped them out of the ground and he ran to the top of the hill. And if you've ever seen a caricature of the character Samson, usually it's a big muscle-bound character. I don't believe that's an accurate picture of who he was, because they didn't know the secret of his strength. Come on. They didn't know the secret. And the Bible says he fell in love with the beautiful Delilah. And you can read this in Judges 16 and 17. And people say, well, how do you know she was beautiful? Well, I can't imagine the devil using some ugly hag, right? I just got to be honest. Sin is alluring. And so she got his attention, and he thought she was so beautiful, and God had warned him, don't go mess with those Philistine women. But he went to her, and he had affection for her. And I want you to understand that he went to her, and she asked him three different times, what is the secret of your strength? He said, tie my hair in wet cords, I'll be as weak as any other man. Tie my hair in new cords, I'll be as weak as any other man. Tie my hair in wet braids, I'll be as weak as any other man. And then the Bible says she screamed out, the Philistines are upon you. The Philistines are upon you. All three times he went out and defeated them. Look at this. Then she says, why have you lied to me? Tell me the secret of your strength. He said, cut my hair. I'll be as weak as any other man. You can read this in Judges 17. His head was in her lap. Out come the scissors. She cuts his hair and she screams, the Philistines are upon you. The Philistines are upon you. And the Bible says they came out. He went out to defeat them like he had every other time. But it's the saddest scripture in the Bible. It says, but he did not know that the glory of God had departed from him. Yes? Listen. And I want you to understand, the Bible says they gouged his eyes out, bound him, made him grind in the mill like an animal. Look at me. I want you to feel this. They stuck an instrument into his head and gouged his eyes out. And he lost the ability to see. Look at me. Because he lost the ability to see a long time before that. Because he tried to mix both things together. Listen, I want you to know, if you want the presence of God in your business, in your this will change your marriage. This will change your business. This will change your children. This will change your family. This will change the city. If we can say, God, I don't want a little of you. I want all of you. And I want to try to mix the two things together, God. As I live and breathe, I know I have to go to work and I have to go to school and I have to live. But I want the pool of your presence. I don't want just both feet and both worlds. I want all of you. Yes? Am I standing in it now? Am I standing in it now? Am I standing in it now? How did I get in here? I make a willful decision to step out of that realm. And I've got to protect the pool so that it stays that clean, pure presence of God. Because he can't trust us if we're not living in that place of cleanness and purity. Yes? Hold your hand up. If you're right-handed, hold your right hand up. If you're left-handed, hold your left hand up. Whichever is your dominant hand, hold it up. God wants to heal the sick with that hand. God wants to drive out demons with that hand. But if we're living in a compromised place, we can't have all that he promises for us. Yes? I got to pursue the pool. I got to protect the pool. Here's the last thing before we pray. And I got to practice in the pool. Everybody say practice. I want to read a scripture to you in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. I want you to read this with me. It's on the screen. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. Can you read this out loud? Come on, let's read it out loud. For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Read the next verse. Look at what it says. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, because it's power, love, and self-discipline. The King James says power, love, and a sound mind. Has America ever needed a sound mind? And I want you to understand, the only way we're going to have that sound mind is to fan into flame the gift of God that is within us. See, every person in this room has unique gifts. Every person. Brother Pink Shirt, would you stand up right there? Yeah. I don't know if you're related to Sister Pink back there. I don't know, but everybody look at that precious man right there. Do you see? Smile real big. Will you just turn around and look at everybody? Just smile at him. Okay. All right. Is anybody going to turn that guy down? Come on. But I see the love of God in you. And I saw it when I walked in here on the front row today. And I want you to know that you have gifts and abilities. And I have gifts and abilities. And I can't do what you do. And you might not be able to do what I do. But when we're both using our gift, then God does something unusual. Yes. Would that sweet lady right there who's freezing to death with the white hair. Yeah, would you stand up? Yeah, would you stand up real quick? Yeah, would you stand up? Everybody look at that beautiful lady. Will you turn around and smile at everybody? All the way around. Just turn around and smile at everybody. Is anybody going to turn that woman? Stay standing, Brother Pink Shirt. Yeah. Everybody look at that beautiful lady right there. I want you to know that lady has gifts and abilities. Do you believe that? You have gifts and abilities. And the presence of God is within you. And you might not be able to do what I do or what he does. And we might not be able to do what you do. But you have gifts and abilities that the kingdom of God needs. And when we're all working together, something unusual is released. Yes? That brother right there with the hairline who's like mine, would you stand up? Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah, I love you, man. I call you Mr. Clean. Hallelujah. All right. Because I'm the same way. Amen. Look at me. How many know that precious man? Look at the joy that's in his heart. Would you look at the joy that's in him? I want you to know you have gifts and abilities. That I can't do what you do, and you can't do what she does and what he does or what I do, and we can't do what you do. But when all of us are fulfilling our gifts, God does something unusual. Let me get one last one. Come on. That guy back there in the very back. Stay standing, Mr. Clean. That guy very back there in the very back over there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Will you stand up? Yeah. Yeah. My brother. Look, everybody look at that precious man. Look over there at him. That man has gifts and abilities. And I can't do what you do. And you can't do what he does or she does or he does or what I do. But when we all flow in our gift together, God does something unusual. What did the Word of God say? Fan into flame. Come on. Fan into flame. Would you give these people a great big hand? Hallelujah. You can sit down. Listen to me. I have found the greatest way to practice in the presence of God is to stay in the pool. Don't just visit it. Stay in the pool and practice the things of God. I have found you can practice the presence of God through prayer. Come on. I have found you can practice the presence of God through reading the Word of God. And I have found most of all that I can practice the presence of God by telling people about Jesus. And I get to lead a lot of people to Christ because I'm not just a preacher, I'm an evangelist. And I tell everybody everywhere I go about Christ. And one of the greatest ways that I've ever found to practice his presence is just the song of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening today. We hope you found this message uplifting and encouraging. If you're looking to connect in person, we gather every Sunday at 10 a.m. You can also find us online at calvaryassembly.org. And don't forget to follow us on our social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, for more content, updates, and to stay connected with our community.